All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am giving you my in-depth scout report of the Falcons 2018 fourth-round pick. That is the running back, Ito Smith, from Southern Miss.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalconFans.com, one of the longest running Falcon websites on the internet. On Twitter, at FalcFans, and the host of this Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, we're going to be doing the Ito Smith scouting report. I will give you my honest takes, and we will be evaluating the player, as I have said multiple times on the previous weekly scouting reports with Deidrin Sinnott, with Isaiah Oliver, and with Calvin Ridley. I'm going to give you the honest truth to showing you how this player will or won't be successful in the NFL and what to look for, rather than the simple hype that you often see in these post-draft evaluations of various draft picks. But before we get there, there are some other subjects that I do want to touch upon. I will touch upon them briefly. The first one is going to be talking about the league's new anthem policy. I know you're like, stick to sports, Aaron. I promise you, I will only talk very briefly about it, and it will be mostly from a sports perspective. So you don't have to worry about your politics or your views of social issues being challenged for the next few minutes. Then after that, I do want to touch upon a little bit more about the signing of Ricky Ortiz, the fullback, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, before we get to the Ito Smith. But we might talk about the anthem stuff in detail in the later episode, in the future episode. I do think Dave Choate did a very good job writing up sort of my sentiments on an article written over at the Falcoholic, so go check that out if you want to get a little bit deeper of sort of where my view on this issue is. But from where I stand, I'm not going to challenge your belief system or your political or your social politics or whatever you want to call it. But I do think it's interesting to me that the NFL has basically made this decision and from their perspective, seemingly believe that this has now made this whole anthem issue and kneeling before the anthem a non-issue. While I personally think this has only made it the potential to be a power keg, as it were, a PR landmine that in the event that a player decides that he's going to be quote unquote defiant and still decide to kneel during the anthem, as a part of that defiance, it's only going to make this into a much bigger issue than it has been for the last 2 years, because now that player is now just not only being defiant of the American people and the president and the league and all that sort of stuff, if you want to call it defiance, by expressing his First Amendment rights, but now it's a direct challenge to his ownership, because now the front office has to pay a fine for it. So I think this is a potential to blow up in the league's face. And I think from me, from the sports angle of this, it's going to be fascinating to me to sort of see whether or not this does. And if it does, to me, it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how many of these PR nightmares and PR landmines that the NFL has basically laid for itself under the leadership of Roger Goodell. And it sort of really started to get out of control with the Rice fiasco from what, 2014. How many of these landmines that they can step on as an ownership group and be accepting of just because they're making so much money, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, year after year. How many of these landmines are they willing to fall on? And that's the question to me. And I especially given the fact that we're, 3 years away from a major, massive labor crisis with the league. If you thought the last one was bad, this one's going to be worse. And situations and issues like this one, I think, are only going to exasperate that. So that, to me, is going to be fascinating. Regardless of your political beliefs, regardless of how you feel about these social issues, whether you think players should be allowed to express their First Amendment rights, whether you think they should be forced to stand to respect the flag and it's a slap in the face of whatever, I don't understand how you can be happy with this whole situation, because I think it has the potential to really, really blow up in the league space. And I am going to be curious if it does. And the part of me that, you know, is akin to the Joker from The Dark Knight, where Michael Caine says, some men want to see the world burn, part of me wants to see it burn, because it, certainly as a person who does a daily podcast, it's going to be fun to talk about, at least from my perspective, over the next couple of years, weeks, months, and years. So we'll see how it plays out. So that's all I wanted to say. Before we jump into the Ito Smith thing, I do want to say, with the signing of Ricky Ortiz, I do think he now becomes the front runner to be the fullback for the Falcons. We talked about the fullback position not too many episodes ago. I think the signing of him, I think one of the things we talked about in the past is if the Falcons did address the fullback position coming out of rookie minicamp, that would be an indicator that they weren't necessarily thrilled with the sort of competition between Daniel Marks and Luke McNitt and Jake Rowe and DeMario Richard, or however that's going to go. So the fact that they pick up Ricky Ortiz, I think, is an indicator of that, not necessarily a guarantee of that. But I do think he's the front runner. Watching two preseason games of him with Baltimore last summer, I do think he's better than the undrafted free agents. I think he showed a little bit more in terms of what I want to see. Granted, you know, that's going up against NFL competition, which I think is easier to sort of evaluate those things than trying to project that from a college game. But I, you know, my expectation, honestly, is I still think the Falcons are going to have some very questionable fullback play in 2018. But I certainly think Ricky Ortiz sitting here today gives the team a better chance than the undrafted guys of at least getting a little bit above the Derek Coleman bar, if not significantly better in that regard. So we'll see how it plays out in training camp. I'm certainly going to be something that I will be talking quite a bit about come August on this podcast. But we'll see how it goes, guys. And I think, you know, Ricky Ortiz is a name to watch for the Falcons at this current time. So, yeah. Let's get into the Ito Smith scouting report. But of course, I need to plug LockedOnSports.com, the one-stop hub of all things Locked On Podcast Network, whether it's NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball. You can find all that podcasts and written content and more at LockedOnSports.com, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So let's talk Ito Smith. I think, you know, as I say on all these scouting reports, I'm going to give what I think his strengths are, what I think his weaknesses are, and particularly when we focus on the weaknesses and spend a good deal of conversation talking about those weaknesses, that's not because I believe that these are bad. It's not to be critical of the player, but it's to make you guys understand, as I've explained a number of times before, that if you cannot overcome some of these issues, you're not going to be able to be successful in the league. And what winds up happening is I think too often people tend to focus on the strengths of a guy and the ceilings of a guy and not really examine where a player's floor is. And the reality is you have to get past the first floor, so to speak, in order to sort of reach that ceiling. So with Ito Smith, I think looking at his strengths, you know, I think a lot of the things you like about him is the elusiveness, the quickness. He runs with balance. He runs with patience. You can argue his patience is probably his best trait. It allows him to play with really good vision and be a decisive runner. You know, he waits for his blocks, waits for those things to set up and develop, and then he does a good job finding daylight behind those blocks. You know, there have been times watching him where I think he may be a little bit too patient and waiting a little bit too long in the backfield, sort of stalling, waiting for those blocks to develop rather than hitting that hole and going north-south. We've seen a guy like Le'Veon Bell do that to great success in the league. He's more of a rarity than sort of the norm there. I'm not going to necessarily compare Ito Smith to Le'Veon Bell in that way. But it's not a major issue, but it was a couple of times where I'm like, okay, let's hit it and go, you know. I think his value in the passing game is another big asset of his game. I think he has very natural hands, does a good job tracking the ball in the air, makes adjustments to the ball in the air. So you will see him be a very effective receiver out of the backfield. I think he also has the quickness and the speed to be an effective player when he lines up in the slot and shows that ability as a potential route runner to run some of those routes out there on the outside and be a little bit of a mismatch guy, and probably not to the degree of a Tevin Coleman just because he doesn't have that blazing speed. But I do think he can be a very valuable player in the passing game that can sort of win some mismatches there. I think he's very good on screens because of those same reasons. Again, the burst, the quickness, the elusiveness, all those things that when he can get in the open field, he can be a dangerous player. Now, again, he doesn't have the elite speed that you're looking for to be a guy that, you know, once the ball is in his hands, he's a threat to take it the distance every single time. But I do think he has very good speed, very good acceleration. And so when he does get those opportunities in the open field, he does do quite a bit of damage in that regard. I would probably say that from a speed standpoint, from a explosiveness standpoint, he's somewhere on the spectrum between Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, not to the degree of Tevin Coleman, who's quote-unquote elite in that regard, and Devontae Freeman, who's good in that regard, but certainly doesn't get the big explosive plays as frequently as you would hope, as certainly compared to some of the other top running backs in the league. But I think Ito Smith has a little bit more of that explosiveness than Devontae Freeman does. I think due to his patience, vision, and balance, he should be a very natural fit in the Falcons' outside zone scheme that can run the stretch play, can run the slant runs, that are a big part and hallmark of this scheme. And I think he can make that one cut and go sort of ability. He doesn't have a lot of experience running behind fullbacks. I know the five games I watched of him over the last 2 years at Southern Miss, I only saw maybe one play where he was really running behind a true lead blocker. You know, there were other times where he's running like sweeps and whatnot, and not necessarily a true lead blocker in that regard, based off of the sort of the read option stuff that they were doing at USM. But I think he's probably best running outside of the tackles, as often is the case for most running backs, just because it's easier. You don't have to deal with as much traffic and bodies. But I think because of his vision, he's capable of running in between the tackles. And I do think more so because of the scheme that the Falcons run, he should be better between the tackles than he would be in other schemes. And I think that's one of the reasons why he wasn't as highly rated, because when you're reading these rankings and these grades of drafted players, the draft eligible players, those guys are really projecting them to a generic NFL scheme, not necessarily a specific scheme. And so I think Ito Smith's grade would go up if teams were purely projecting him to a zone blocking scheme as opposed to a generic blocking scheme that runs a mix of zone and man blocking. So I do think, you know, with Southern Miss ran a lot of inside zone with Ito Smith. So I think he'll be very effective in that regard, certainly more effective than he probably would be in a lot of schemes. He's not particularly powerful. He does have an element of physicality. You will see him lower the shoulder. And because he has good balance, he has a lower center of gravity, and he does do a good job keeping his legs moving through contact. He does break some tackles, but I don't think that's going to be necessarily something you see quite a bit in the NFL. I think that's something that's easier to do in the college level for obvious reasons. You know, it's easier to break a tackle against, you know, the linebacker from Louisiana Monroe than it is against Luke Kuechly, as it were. But I do think similarly, as we see with guys like Devontae Freeman and Jacquizz Rodgers, some of the other shorter, smaller backs that we've had over the years, he will be able to break some tackles. I think those two guys are a little bit better in regard, but there's some elements of Ito's game that are similar to that. I think, you know, for the most part, because his ability to evade defenders with his quickness and his shiftiness, that it prevents them from being able to square him up firmly. And so that allows him to get more arm tackles. And those are things that he can break those tackles, as opposed to just sort of like going head to head against another guy. I don't think that's going to be oftentimes where he's going to win that sort of outcome. But I think because of his shiftiness and his ability to sort of, you know, move laterally, it allows him to sort of avoid the square contact. That was a big part of Warrick Dunn's game. Again, I'm not necessarily saying that Ito Smith's on that level where he's going to be, you know, one of the, you know, a 10,000 yard rusher over the course of his career like Warrick Dunn was. But it's similar in terms of, it's of the same ilk in terms of what he can do. And we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of the obstacles and question marks surrounding Ito Smith that are going to really affect where his NFL future is. But of course, let's plug the Locked on Hawks podcast, hosted by Brad Rowland, a good friend of mine. You will probably hear Brad on a future episode of this podcast, talking Hawks, talking NBA Finals, and much, much more. Again, that's part of the Locked on Podcast Network on the NBA side of things, your NBA team every day. So I do think there are some questions surrounding Ito Smith, and I think these are issues that he's going to have to overcome in order to be a successful NFL running back. We'll touch upon later sort of where I think that success level could be. And I think there's reason to believe that he will be able to overcome these issues, but you know, nothing is automatic, as they say. And so I think the first issue that is of concern to me is the ball security. From what I gather, he didn't have a ton of fumbles while he was in college. But his fumble rate comparatively to other guys in this running back class in particular, and assuming that that applies to most running back classes, was fairly below average in that regard. So that is a concern. I think part of that is because sometimes he's caught carrying the ball away from his body, and so he doesn't have all three points of contact that you want to see a guy have. And just only has 2 points of contact, and that allows opportunities for guys to sort of jar the ball loose when they hit him and swipe at the ball. So that is something to keep an eye on. Obviously, that's an issue that can be fixed. We've seen that get fixed a ton in this league. We've seen that with Tevin Coleman. But if it does not get fixed to any great degree, then that certainly will limit his opportunities, because if you can't be trusted to hold on to the football, they're not going to give you many opportunities to hold on to the football. So I think that's going to be one question mark. I think the main issue that he's going to be dealing with at this next level is going to be pass protection. And I think the more I watched of him, the bigger a question mark I had in terms of his pass protection skills. I think there are plays where you see good pass protection. You see him line up a defender, square him up, lower the shoulder, chip a guy. You see times where he lines up a guy, cuts him, and gives the quarterback that window to throw into. But there are just as many times, if not slightly more times, where he doesn't really do that, and he leaves a lot to be desired and seems a little bit tentative about squaring up a guy. And again, part of this, I think, is due to his smaller stature. And, you know, it's a fact of the matter that despite what people want to believe, being small, particularly in terms of this skill set in this position, is a disadvantage in the NFL. You know, there are plenty of smaller running backs that have been very successful and very capable in pass protection. Devontae Freeman, Jacquizz Rodgers, Warwick Dunn being three of them that have played in Atlanta specifically, that I'm sure most of you guys listening right now are very familiar with. But there's no doubt about it that when you're only 200 pounds, it's not as advantageous as being 220 pounds when you're trying to square up a 240-pound linebacker or a 260-pound edge rusher. It's just, you know, you're giving up a lot more bulk in that regard, and so you have to sort of make up for it in a lot of ways. And there are times when I question whether Ito Smith has that ability to make up for it consistently enough. The pass protection, as I said earlier, is going to be really the key to his success. It's going to, for lack of a better term, sort of make and break his NFL potential. Because I think his sort of what his potential is basically a poor man's Devontae Freeman. Because I think from a skill set standpoint, he's similar to Devontae. I'm not going to necessarily say he's the same as Devontae, but I think he can be a guy that has the potential to be a guy that can give you 10 or 12, maybe even 15 touches a game, and expect him to be both effective as a runner and receiver. I don't expect him to be a feature back in the way that Devontae Freeman has shown at various times throughout his career he is capable of being, which is a guy that can get 15, 18, 20 touches or more touches a game. But I do think he's a guy that can give you maybe 60 to 70% of that. And I think that's a good comparison to what that type of player is what Deion Lewis was for the Patriots specifically this past season. And I think that's really a good comparison to what Ito Smith's NFL future is. I think Deion Lewis is a good comp for him. Lewis had a career highlight this past season with nearly 900 rushing yards, had about 200 receiving yards, could have had more, but due to the fact that the Patriots also have James White and Rex Burkhead and give them a lot of opportunities in passing situations, it sort of puts a ceiling on sort of how productive Lewis can be in that regard. But I think sort of at his max, similar to what we saw with Deion Lewis this year, if he was thrust into a situation where he was asked to be the lead tailback due to an injury or something along those lines in a committee system, I think, like Deion Lewis showed this past year, he could handle that role. He's not going to be the full-time guy, but certainly can be a guy that some weeks you'll give him 5 carries, some weeks you'll give him 10, some weeks you'll give him 15, and occasionally here and there you might sprinkle in 20 or so, depending on how the game and situation bears out. I think, like Deion Lewis, though, you're not going to get that level of player, particularly 2017 Deion Lewis, every year with Ito Smith. I think you're going to get more. Most of Ito Smith's career is going to be more reminiscent of 2015 and 2016 Deion Lewis, where he's really more the second or third guy in the committee system behind guys like LeGarrette Blount and James White. And instead, in those situations, he's getting 5, 7, max of 10 touches a game to really more spell those guys rather than being the main guy. Going back to what I said, why that relates to pass protection is because when you look at guys, particularly a guy like LeGarrette Blount, you look at guys like Adrian Peterson, Leonard Fournette, some other prominent examples, these guys don't get a lot of opportunities on third downs. They often, in their cases, with Peterson and with Fournette and with Blount, they get pulled off the field on third downs. And unless you're that type of running back, you kind of need to be capable in pass protection. And what are those three running backs in particular have in common? They're big, physical, powerful runners. And we know that Ito Smith is never going to be that type of player. And so you can get away with that when you're on that level as running backs and sort of be the quote-unquote lead guy that can take the punishment and be that lead carry guy. That's not going to be Ito Smith, obviously. And so I think more so than some of these other running backs, his success is going to be tied to that pass protection ability, because when you look at how the Falcons have used guys like Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, they're used for the most part interchangeably. Freeman gets a little bit more of a workload, but in terms of how the Falcons use him, oftentimes, particularly the last two seasons in particular, the Falcons will give Devontae Freeman 3 plays, and then they'll give Tevin Coleman 3 plays, and then they'll give Devontae Freeman 3 plays, and so it goes on and so forth. And the reason for that is not simply because they're equals as far as running backs, but they're equals in pass protection, at least in terms of how the coaching staff perceives it, basically the guys that matter. And you could certainly debate, maybe one guy is slightly better than the other in pass protection, but the coaches feel that they're basically equals. And so they don't have to make major adjustments to their offense given one or the other's presence in the field, because, as you guys know, 60% or slightly below 60% of all your plays are going to be passing plays. So 60% of your offense is going to depend on your ability for that running back, whether it's a 5-man protection or a 6-man protection or whatever, to be able to hold up in pass protection, be the difference between buying your quarterback that extra second to throw that window to complete that pass. And if you don't trust your guys to do that, and the Falcons clearly have trust in Freeman and Coleman, and that explains why they're used the way that they are used, then it's going to be a little bit problematic. And particularly for a guy like Ito Smith, if he isn't a competent pass rusher, let's imagine a scenario where Tevin Coleman walks and it's him and Devontae Freeman as the two running backs. Instead of a 3-on-3-on-3-on-3-off sort of committee that you have between those two guys, instead you're going to get more of a 6 or 7-on for Devontae and 2-on for Ito while Devontae catches his breath and then he comes back on the field. And the problem is, if Ito Smith is not a competent enough pass protector for those two plays that he is in, guess what? The Falcons are going to find somebody else that is. That's the bottom line. If that's not going to be Ito Smith, somebody else is going to get that job. And that's going to limit his ability to be this Tevin Coleman replacement that I think a lot of us expect and want him to be in the future. And I think, sitting here today, I don't think in terms of his ability to replace Coleman, I don't expect him to be on that level. I think you can argue that Ito Smith is a more natural fit in the zone blocking scheme that the Falcons run. So he may be a little bit more consistent of a runner than Tevin Coleman is, but he's not going to have that sort of explosive element to his game that's going to be a game changer, I think, in the way that Tevin Coleman is. I think, when you look at sort of how Tevin Coleman and Devontae are basically used, they're RB1A and RB1B. I think more Ito Smith's upside is more to be a true RB2 as opposed to that sort of interchangeable piece. But again, that goes back to his ability to handle pass protection. And I think, that was one of the areas where people continually underestimated Terron Ward and why it was so baffling to many, not myself, but it was baffling to many how he was able to stick around for as long as he did. And I think because of the way the coaching staff perceived it, and certainly the tape backs it up, there was little to no drop-off between Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, and Teron Ward when it came to pass protection. Certainly as runners, you could certainly make a case that there was significant fluctuations as far as that goes. And so when you had injuries to Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman over the last two or so years, the Falcons were more than comfortable of giving Teron Ward those two plays, like I referred to earlier, when he's trying to spell one of the other two backups. I think the thing with Ito Smith, of course, is going to be that as a runner and receiver, he has a higher ceiling than Teron Ward just because he has a little bit more of that explosiveness, the burst, the vision, all those sorts of things that you like to see as far as an offensive weapon, as you might call it. And so, unfortunately for Teron Ward, his ceiling only was to be that guy that only gets two plays. So he was only ever going to be that RB3 that only really gets an opportunity when there is an injury ahead of him. Obviously, I think Smith has greater ceiling to be more than that, as I said, an RB2, and be more of a guy that can get 5, 10, or more touches a game. But again, if he doesn't fix those issues, particularly in pass protection as well as the ball security, he's never going to get past that ceiling or get past that Teron Ward floor in reality, to really show his skills as a runner and receiver that Ward was not really unable to unlock. And I think looking at Ito Smith, I think there's reason for people to be positive and optimistic that he will get there, because as far as we know, pass protection, ball security, those are issues that can be fixed. We've seen that get fixed. We've seen that with Coleman, with his ball security issues. We know that very few running backs, if practically no running backs, ever really come into the league as polished in terms of pass protection goes. And that's going to be something that's going to have to be taught to guys. And we know that clearly it gets taught to guys. We saw that with Freeman. You've seen that with Coleman, who were, you know, limited in terms of their involvement in terms of what they were doing on third downs as rookies, but we've seen their roles grow in that regard. So I think there's reason to be optimistic. I guess the point I'm trying to make, as I said earlier, is I don't think it's automatic. So I think the one question, the lingering question with Ito Smith is going to be, what is it going to be his role in special teams? And I think particularly when you look at 2018, he's most likely to be limited to a special teams role. You look at his career at Southern Miss, he did return kicks for 3 out of the 4 years that he was there, but he was never really their main guy as far as that went. He was more of the other guy, the second or third option there. So I think he can return kicks in the NFL. I think, you know, whether he'll be good in that role, you know, there's not a whole lot to suggest that he will be particularly adept in that role. Certainly not any more adept than I think, as longtime listeners probably know, I'm not a big fan of kickoffs. I think they're sort of a waste of time and they don't really add a whole lot. You know, a handful of kickoff returns will affect your offense and will affect your season, but for the most part, it's a literal handful over the course of an entire season. And I think it's really a position where you can comfortably just throw a quote unquote body at and be fine. And I think Ito Smith is certainly more than capable of being a body at the position. But in terms of him being beyond a body, you know, I remain skeptical of that, but certainly I don't have any reason to any strong sort of feelings on that specific issue. So, you know, I won't go too much on the kickoff return. So if he's the kickoff returner for the Falcons this year, I wouldn't be shocked of it. I don't think anybody should be like, that means some, like, basically the point I'm trying to make is I don't think it means a whole lot, but maybe it does. Maybe he winds up being, you know, the next Farrell Cooper or the next Tyreek Hill or the next Dante Hall. Maybe. I doubt it, but we'll see. I think in terms of his other role on special teams, I think probably you would potentially pencil him in as the personal protector on the punt coverage team. You'll also see him probably get opportunities on the kickoff return team as well. With Ward gone, who was served that role last year, you had Neesman also get looks there last summer. He'll get looks there. I think basically, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this, but the only player currently on the Falcons roster that has gotten actual in-game experience as a personal protector on punts is Ricardo Allen. And we know he's not going to be a candidate there, or we assume he's not going to be. So I think you could make a very strong case that Ito Smith is the front runner to win that spot, vacated from Teron Ward and previously operated by Eric Weems and Jacquizz Rodgers before him. And I would guess, my guess is sitting here today, that I think it'll probably be a competition between Io Smith and Justin Hardy for that role. Just looking at the guys that are likely to make the roster and who you would sort of peg for that spot, particularly Hardy now that, you know, you've added Russell Gage, you've added Justin Bethel, and his duties as a gunner pretty much evaporated. But I think he's still a very good and valuable special teams player, and I think he would actually be very good fit for that personal protector role just because I think he's a good blocker, a very underrated blocker, I think, by a lot of people, because I think he's arguably the best, you know, arguably, I would say he is the best blocking receiver on this current Falcons roster. And so I think he would be a really good fit there. So I think it would be interesting to sort of see if that's a competition. But I do think, obviously, for obvious reasons, the Falcons might have a vested interest in Ito Smith taking that job. So I think to sort of wrap it up, I think Ito Smith's abilities are going to really be tied to his ability as a pass protector. I think we'll sort of have to see how the futures of guys like Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman play out, particularly next season. Obviously, I think the smart money says that Tevin Coleman probably will walk in free agency after this upcoming season, but I don't think it's an inevitability as some people think it is. I think it's probably the likeliest scenario, but I don't think it's the only scenario, and I think there are several other scenarios where Tevin Coleman could be retained. I'm not as convinced as others that we are guaranteed to see longevity from Devontae Freeman. That's one of the reasons why I don't think it's a slam dunk that Tevin Coleman's going to walk, just because, you know, Devontae Freeman could wind up playing another 3 more years in Atlanta, or he could wind up playing 3 more games in Atlanta due to the whole concussion issue. So that is something to keep an eye on. And certainly Ito Smith's future is going to be tied to both of those guys, because I think obviously if one or more of those guys are here in Atlanta, Ito Smith's going to be pushed down the depth chart. But if one or more of those guys leaves, that creates much more opportunities for Ito Smith to thrive and succeed. So I think in terms of looking at Ito Smith's floor, I think what you're looking for is a Terron Ward plus type of player, which is a RB3 that can get those 2 snaps to spell the other guy, but not necessarily be a guy that's going to necessarily blossom in that role, because the team may not fully trust him to be more than sort of a guy that gets an occasional touch here and there, particularly when there's injuries. I think his ceiling, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, is to be a Deion Lewis type of player that, you know, mostly due to circumstances, will never be asked to be the lead guy, but certainly has the capability of doing so if he's ever called upon to be the lead guy in a committee system as a running back. So I think that's where Ito Smith's potential is. I think if you're going to be like, yeah, he's Deion Lewis, you know, I would argue, and maybe it's my pit bias, Deion Lewis is slightly better than Ito Smith, but I think the differences between them are slight enough that I, you know, we can fudge it a little bit and say, you know, they're the same. So I think that's really where your comparisons lie, and I think there's a reason to be optimistic that Ito Smith will reach that potential. And maybe he might reach more if I'm really underestimating his ability as an explosive runner in a pass catcher, which wouldn't be the first time I've done that with you know, an undersized running back that the Falcons picked up in the 4th round of a draft. I'm looking at you, Cuzzo, Devontae Freeman. So, yeah, that's it, guys. That's my Ito Smith breakdown. I think we'll be back on Monday with another Fan Talk. We'll be coming back with a Russell Gage scouting report next week at some point in time. We'll see what's anything happening in terms of the drama involving Julio Jones or any other issues surrounding the Falcons. We may talk about some of the other league-wide issues. As I said on yesterday's podcast, if you missed that Fan Talk with Zach Jones, in future weeks we will do some NFC South breakdowns, off-season outlooks. We will do some positional previews as we get closer to training camp. As well as more draft and off-season related content. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, we will probably do some NBA stuff on the Locked On Falcons podcast. So that's something to look forward to. And in the meantime, guys, if you want to get your feedback and to suggest certain topics or just subjects that we should discuss, or if you have questions, I do have, we'll do some Q&As. That's another way of filling content. I do have one in the mailbag at least now. So if you want to send in your questions or comments or suggestions, you can do so on Twitter at FalcFans. That's my Twitter handle. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, just go ahead and send in Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. You can also check us out on Facebook at Locked On Falcons. You can email us lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And of course, you can leave a comment at lockedonfalcons.com or falcons.com where the show is posted daily. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.